sent off to the not quite printer yet, but the designer, I guess, our new theme for next year for that banner out in the foyer, new offering envelopes with our next year's theme on it, track for next year's theme. I think that's a track. Oh yeah, and also calendars, hopefully for all the, I guess I had said it in church one time, it's a target. We're going to put down pretty much everything that we did last year, but what we're going to do next year, looked ahead for the dates. And, don't crucify me or shoot me if we don't do it exactly like the calendar says, but we're going to get close, all right? It's mostly a target, but a whole year is off to the designer. As soon as I get it back from the designers, we'll go with the to the printer and write it the first of the year. We'll reveal the new theme and go for it another year, amen? And I hope that I've grown this year, and I hope you've grown this year. And just because we had it as our theme, that didn't make it automatically happen, right? But we had to do something about it. We had to read a little bit more Bible than we have in the past, maybe be a little more faithful to certain areas in our Christian life than we have in the past, learn from some mistakes and confess and forsake and all that kind of stuff, and grow. That's what it's all about. But anyway, we'll get to the theme next year. We'll go through, we got lots of things to do for Christmas with the parade, and then the Christmas party, and then the candlelight service and the Lord's Supper, and then obviously all the other church services. We'll try to finish this year out strong and jump headlong into the next year. Amen. But tonight we're going to preach a sermon called Run to God, Not Away from Him. Run to God, not away from Him. Anything that we go through in life, the devil wants you to, I guess, get bent out of shape and run away, not deal with it. I'm just not going to deal with this. That's how the Lord, the devil wants us to deal with it. But what God wants us to do, He allows things like that to push us to Him. If you'll just come to me, bring your burden to me, and my yoke is easy and my burden's light. If you'll let me help you, I'll help you. He didn't say I'll remove the problem or I won't let problems come into your life, but He did say, if you do have a problem and those are problems that I allow to come into your life, it's there to push you towards me, not run away from me. And so that's what we're going to preach tonight about, is run to God, not away from Him. Or don't run away from your problems, face them, would be, a terminology that we might say as far as our life goes. And we've said it many times, you're either in a problem, just came out of a problem, or going to go head right into a problem. That's just life. We all have to deal with problems, whether it be health, whether it be financial, whether it be emotional, whether it be just life itself. We're going to have problems, and the one we're going to look at tonight is in Ruth 1 and 2. We preached a couple weeks ago, I believe it was before Thanksgiving, about Ruth in chapter 1 and some things that she learned and so forth, and Boaz being there for her. But tonight what we're going to look at is the problem back then, of course, in context, the problem was that there was a famine in the land. That was the problem. And of course, what it did, it caused Elimelech, Naomi, Mahlon, and Chilion. I guess Elimelech was the buck stops here. It was his decision, but the others just went along with it, didn't fight him over it. But how he dealt with the famine was he ran away from it. He didn't run to God. He didn't lead his family to God. He didn't say, "Hey, we're gonna stick this out, and we're gonna watch God provide a miracle." And he said, "We just got to get out of here." So in the introduction, we see here first of all, you don't have to face your problems alone. You don't have to try to figure it out on your own. God will help you. You have God. You have the Holy Spirit, which is also called the Comforter and the Guide. We have all this. When we have a problem, run to God. Run to the Holy Spirit. Run to the Comforter. Run to the Guide. We have His Word, instructions, encouragements, promises. We can run to His Word. We also have a prayer closet that we can go to. And again, we go there. And I know I've done this. I've tried to figure it out on my own. I've tried to, you know, man up. I've tried to suck it up. I've tried to just endure and forget to go to the prayer closet, and then get in the prayer closet, and the Holy Spirit starts telling you stuff, and you're like, well, I should have done this weeks ago, instead of trying to, you know, bang my head against this and try to figure it out if I'd have just went to the prayer closet first. So we have this. This is what God's doing. When He allows those situations to come into our life, He's trying to push us to Him. He's trying to push us to the Holy Spirit. He's trying to push us to His Bible. He's trying to push us to the prayer closet. And then, praise God, for a church like this, we have others that will pray for us. And again, sometimes we can verbalize those prayer requests. Sometimes, and it happened here tonight, we say it's an unspoken. And God knows it. And Brother Raji just prayed for you in your unspoken and asked God to help you in that. We have that. So don't run to the world. Don't run to Moab. Let's pray about it. And then we have a church that also we can come and get strengthened and hear sermons like this. Don't run away from God, run to Him. And hopefully that'll strengthen us. So again, when you're facing something that you don't understand, you would not have chosen it. It's just happening. This is what God wants you to do. Run to Him. Run to the Holy Spirit. Run to His Bible. Run to the prayer closet. Run to prayer time at church. Run to strengthening in church. So there's power. There's two powerful forces going on in this world today. One is that tries to tear everything apart. And that's the satanic problem or force. And that's the world's philosophy force. It's going to run rampant. So again, if you're facing a problem and you're looking for a source, it's going to be there. The trail to Moab is going to be there. The figuring it out yourself is going to be there. It looks like everybody else is doing it. It's going to be there. And so those forces are going to be there. So the second force is this, is God, and all those things that we talked about, is there to put things back together or to strengthen you through it. Again, just like I said earlier, He's not going to take it away. Paul said, I got this thorn in the flesh, God. Take it away from me. And he went back the second time. God, I got this thorn in the flesh. Take it away. Third time. God, please take this away. And finally, the Holy Spirit, God told Paul, said, look, I'm not going to take it away, but I will help you through it. And again, when you come to the end of your life, you'll see that it made you what you were supposed to be for me. And you allowed God to influence you with this situation. So again, what we can do, we can let a problem make us bitter, or we can let a problem make us better. Again, not choosing it, not saying, Lord, just give me the worst situation possible. No, we're not going to do that. But if we do have a problem, we're going to be there. So sin is the destroyer, but the Savior is the restorer. All right. So you can either have a problem or source that will destroy you, or a problem or in a source that will help restore you. Many people have tried to put their lives back together and tried to do it their own way, and it's fallen apart on them. Their homes have been pulled apart. Their jobs are in jeopardy. Everything comes crashing down around them. They're falling apart physically. They're falling apart mentally. They're falling apart socially, being withdrawn. They're falling apart financially. And most of all, they're falling apart spiritually. Again, that's the devil's goal, is to mess you up physically. That's what he did to Job. He had boils all over his body. And again, not any Novocaine, not any Neosporin, just a big old piece of broken glass that he was trying to scrape that stuff off with, and that's as far as we'll go in that descriptive right there. But he had physical problems. And again, anytime you have physical problems over and over and over, it gets to you here. What in the world's going on? And so forth. And mentally, we will fall apart. Socially, we withdraw. We're not as friendly. We're not reaching outreach. We're not trying to reach people for Christ. Financially and spiritually, we just give up. That's exactly what the devil's trying to do. But God will help us in all those. So we can see in chapter 1 of Ruth, we saw two widows a couple weeks ago. And one was old and one was young. But they were both trying to put their life back together. They were trying to figure it out on their own. And we're going to see that once they finally ask God to help, that's when the restoration started happening. So one reason everything falls apart is because we make mistakes during that problem or during that situation. And so that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to magnify it. He wants you to make mistakes. He wants you to overshoot things. He wants you to overthink things. He wants you to get aggravated things. He wants you to get mad at things like that. So in Ruth 1:1-5, we won't take time to read it, But we saw Elimelech, Naomi, Mahlon, Chilion. That's some good names there for you. They were experiencing a famine. And again, if those two boys, and they probably were getting close, if they were teenagers and the famine was going on, it was really bad. All right? A little kid, you know, you can give them a cracker or you can give them something, they'll gnaw on it, they're fine. But a teenager, they think they're starving all the time. They get up from the supper table and they go open the refrigerator. What do we got for snack? We just ate supper. I know, but I'm hungry. All right, and so I'm sure Elimelech was saying, man, I got two boys that I can't fill them up. They used to tell that about me when I was growing up. My mom would tell me I had a hollow leg. You can't fill this guy up. And our boys were like that. My wife would prepare a meal, and you know, they always asked, well, how many tacos can we have? How many hamburgers can we have? How many hot dogs can we have? How many helpings of hamburger helper can you have? All right, you're trying to feed them everything. And so she tried to do that. I was like, look, just stop. Make what you got and just tell them there's bread and peanut butter. They can fill the rest of the way up with that. Don't try to cook enough to fill them up because we can't. So I get it. Elimelech was freaking out a little bit. How am I going to feed these boys? What he should have done was went to God, went to his prayer closet, went to the Word of God that he had, went to his church, went to his preacher, went to his fellow Christians and said, what can we do about this? But what did he do? He ran. He got them all together and they ran. That was mistake number one. They ran from God. They ran from their problems instead of facing them. Number two, the mistake was when Naomi, you know, they did this. They went over there to Moab, a representation or a type of the world. They ran from God and ran to the world. And so when they got over there, we know the story. Their sons married heathen girls that weren't saved. And then, worse than that, Elimelech died. Worse than that, the two boys died. So again, we see when we make mistakes like running from God, there's no good results. There's always punishment. There's always worse things. And so Naomi, obviously she's like, I got to go back, which was a good thing. But a lot of times when people get out of church and they're like, I need to get back to church. My life is a mess. But why do they not come back? Because they're ashamed. What's everybody going to think? What in the world? Which is a big stinking lie of the devil. Just like when people are sitting in the pews, don't you go down front and get saved because people are going to laugh at you. People are going to want, I thought they were saved. People don't think those things. They think, woo, praise the Lord, somebody got saved. That's a lie from the devil. Same thing. A prodigal son comes back. Prodigal daughter comes back. Somebody that's been out of church comes back. They're not going to go, I wonder what they've been doing. Out there in sin. No, praise the Lord. Glad to see you. This is where you need to be. That's a lie. And so Naomi is like, I got to go back because my husband's died. My two sons have died. My life's in a mess. I got to get back to God. And so one of them said, I'm going to come with you. No, you can't do that. You got to go back to your families and go back to your God. Why? Because she was embarrassed. She was trying to cover up the fact that she goofed. I mean, big time. Again, it wasn't that she just didn't like them and it wasn't that she didn't want to take care of them. She's like, if I show back up over there in Bethlehem at the church and I got this Moabitess with me, I got some splaining to do. Like Ricky used to tell Lucy, all right? They would have some splaining to do. And so, well, I can't do that. So mistake number two, trying to cover it up. So if you got a problem, don't run from it. Run to God. Secondly, you got a problem, don't try to hide it. Don't try to cover it up. All right? Ask God. First of all, God, is this a punishment? If it is, fix what he's punishing you for. If it's not, God, what are you trying to teach me? So she ran from the problem. The second thing she tried to do was she hid it. And here's where we are in Proverbs 28:13. If you try to hide anything, this is where the principle here is, don't hide it. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Okay, so now she's ran from God and from the famine and not trusted God, made a big old mess of that, and now she's trying to come back, but she's trying to hide everything. All right, but the Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Now, it didn't mean that she had to put it on Facebook and write out every little detail, but just admit, I goofed. I left God's will. I ran from God. I'm sorry. But it says here, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh, them shall have mercy. So again, here's the mistake. Don't try to cover it up. Repent. Confess it. And number three, Naomi became bitter at God. And that's what she came back. She ran instead of facing her problems and running to God. She ran away from God. Secondly, she tried to cover it up. Thirdly, she got mad and bitter at God. Why did you let this happen? Okay, what we're saying is that, you know, God made a mistake, but God doesn't make mistakes. Her mistake was she left. Naomi, yes, there was a famine. Yes, I allowed it. But I'd have been right here to provide for you and comfort you through it and help you bear your burdens if you just stayed. You're the one that ran. You're the one that tried to cover it up. Don't get mad at me. And so now she's getting bitter. And that's verses 19 through 22 in chapter 1. And she even says, change my name to Mara, or Mara, which means bitter. And Naomi meant pleasant. She wasn't pleasant. She was mad at God. So mistake number one, she ran away from God instead of to Him. Mistake number two, she tried to cover it up. Number three, she got mad at God, got bitter. Don't let it get you bitter. The Bible says that root of bitterness will spring up. That's what the devil will say. Yeah, God doesn't love you. God turned His back on you. God allowed this to happen to you. He's going to magnify that thing and try to get us bitter. And there's people living like that today. So don't let the devil get you to make these three mistakes in your life. It will destroy you. All right? Don't run from your problems. Don't cover your sins. Don't get bitter at God. But Naomi ran from the will of God and from the famine. God allowed it, yes. And she lost her husband. Her lost her two sons. And she got bitter. So what we don't need to do is don't run from our problems. Run to God. It would have been a whole lot better. If we run from our problems, we're running from God, not to Him, because He's the one that allowed it to come. He allowed all these things to happen to Job. And Job did mourn some, yes, which is normal. But he didn't run from God. He ran to God. Joseph, my goodness. Joseph and Job had lots of stuff happen to them. Joseph, his brothers lied about him, sold him. Then he got over there and became in charge, and his boss's wife lied about him. I mean, all kinds of stuff happened to Job or Joseph. In Genesis 50, verse 20 says this, "But as for you, you thought evil against me." Right? The devil, you thought all this stuff. Your brother's turning your back on you. You're getting sold into slavery. You're getting put into prison. You get lied about. The devil, you thought that was going to hurt me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass. So God helped me when my brother sold me. And God helped me when my boss's wife lied about me. And God helped me when I was in the prison. He didn't turn his back on God. He didn't run from God. He ran to God. And then what happened? Lo and behold, years later, he saved his family from the famine. And what we're going to see here in a little bit, Boaz, he didn't run. He didn't go to Moab. He stayed right there in Bethlehem while there was a famine going on. And he made it. And he was able to save Naomi and Ruth because he stayed right where he's supposed to be. So Joseph said, "Devil, but as for you, you thought it evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." I had to go through a little hurt when my brother sold me. I had to go through a little hurt when I got put in prison for being lied about by my boss's wife. I had to go through a little hurt not seeing my family. But that day when they walked in and he was able to fill their bags and put their money back in there, he was like, "I see why, God." He wouldn't have seen that if he'd have ran. He stayed. He let God help him through the problems. Romans 8:28. And we know all things work together for good. Not good, but for good. We can let anything, the worst thing you can imagine, if you'll let it, it'll work for good. Let you run to God. Get closer to God. Let Him help you have that relationship. And to them that are called according to His purpose. So run to God, not away from God. So four things real quick. Number one, run to God, not away from Him, by living by faith, not by sight. Very, very familiar phrase. I believe there's a couple songs with that title or that wordage in it. Living by faith, not by sight. Faith would have had you stay in Bethlehem, not run from the famine. Sight compares. Moab looks like they got more to offer than Bethlehem. It seemed that way. And when right before the book of Ruth is written, there's a book called Judges, and there was no king in the land, and everybody did that which was right in their own eyes. So that's what they did. They didn't run to God. They ran out there and said, Moab's got food. Bethlehem doesn't. I'm going to Moab. But God doesn't want you to. I don't care. I'm going to Moab. And you know what happened? The first time they pulled up to the table over in Moab, and they had that T-bone and that baked sweet potato and some steamed broccoli. That's some good sounding food right there. All right. And they ate that. This was the best decision we ever made. Oh man, we're so smart. We figured it out without God. And that's what the devil's going to happen say. But that T-bone wasn't worth her husband dying. That T-bone wasn't worth her two sons dying. So the devil will make it look way better. The grass is greener on the other side, he'll say. And that's what they did. They ran from God instead of running to God. So by living by faith, not by sight, they also made a mistake by only looking at the problem from a human standpoint. If you only look at the problem you're facing from a human standpoint, it's not going to make sense. You're not going to be able to figure it out. The way they looked at Bethlehem was only everybody that stays here in Bethlehem, they're going to starve. Everybody here is hungry. Over there in Moab, they're not hungry. It appeared to be a land of plenty. So if you're looking at it in a human standpoint, it's going to appear or seem like it's better off. But from God's viewpoint, Moab was heathen land. And they worshiped false gods over there. They were the enemies of God. James 4:4, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy with God. Egypt and Moab, always types of the world. Then it says, this was not just another opinion, but it should have been, it wasn't another option, shouldn't have been an option at all. Genesis 23:3, listen to this verse. The Ammonites and the Moabites, that's where Moab was, shall not enter to the congregation of the Lord, even to them to their tenth generation. They shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. These were enemies of God. Shouldn't have been an option. Shouldn't even have been a thought. Because the Ammonites and the Moabites, and I can read this verse because we're in here. I'm paraphrasing here. But it says here, the Ammonites and the Moabites, they were descendants of Lot when his daughters got him drunk in the cave and committed incest with him. That's where these people were from. So it shouldn't even have been an option. That's why when I see people that know better, they're saved. They have a Bible. They have a church. And then they end up out there. What in the world were you thinking? Right? That's enemies of God. And so forth. And that's exactly what took place here. So from God's viewpoint, Naomi had left home and was residing and depending on the enemy. So if we're living by sight instead of faith, running looks better. It seems better. It appears better. It seems like the best option if we're living by sight. But if we're living by faith, God will show us what's right. So they were trying to find the easier way out of a difficult situation. Floating downstream is easy. That's living by sight. Swimming upstream takes work. That's living by faith. So, number one, we're going to run to God by living by faith, not by sight. Number two, we're going to live for the spiritual, not for the physical. We're going to live for the physical, not to the spiritual. How do we run to God? By living by faith, not by sight. By living for the spiritual and not the physical. I'd rather be hungry in the will of God than full and satisfied out of the will of God. This is how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to look at it like that. Again, none of us in here, we've missed any meals at all. All right? We'll be all right. But it says here, I'd rather be hungry in the will of God than full and satisfied. Fat as a tick. Full as a tick. Out of the will of God. The list of temptation, the first temptation that Satan chose to use against Jesus was for the physical over the spiritual. He'd been fasting for 40 days. Satan tempted him to turn the stones into bread. Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's what Elimelech and Naomi should have done, was went to the word of God instead of the world. Jesus went to the Word of God. Jesus did not succumb to the temptation for the physical needs over the will of God. It is better for us to be poor and hungry in the will of God than have all the comforts of life apart from the will of God. What did Esau do? He sold his birthright. Why? Because he was hungry. I'm about to starve. Well, I got some pottage right here. Sell me your birthright and I'll give you a bowl. All right. So we see people have made bad decisions for their physical needs over their spiritual needs throughout the Bible. When you put your physical above the spiritual, you're basically living to please yourself instead of God. As long as my belly's full, as long as I have what I want, don't care what God wants. You start thinking about the most important thing in life is to be comfortable instead of conformable. Let me say that again. When we're living for the physical instead of the spiritual, we're looking for comforts. I want all the comforts of life. Food, shelter, clothes. I want all the comforts instead of being conformable to the will of God. Sometimes God lets us not have the food that we might want to have. Why? He's trying to conform us into His image. He doesn't let us have the comforts of the world sometimes. Why? He's trying to make us conformable to His will. Jesus put His will, or put God's will and us before His physical needs. That's why when Satan said, "Hey, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." Nope, not going to do it. God's will is more important. Those people that I'm going to go down the cross for is more important. And that's what we have to do. There's Moab. Looks like, seems like, appears like they got the answer. I'm staying right here. I'm staying in God's will. He's going to teach me. So what if Jesus would have put His own comfort before doing God's will and before us? Where would we be at today? So don't run away from God, but run to God by living by faith, by living for the spiritual, not the physical. Number three, by living for the Lord, not the world. By living for the world, Lord, not the world. And what Naomi and Elimelech did that day, everybody else is going. It seemed like everybody else was going. But we've already mentioned it. Boaz didn't. That's why he was there when they came back. Everybody else is not doing it. In Judges 17:6 and Judges 21:25, it says, "And there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." The fact was, everybody wasn't doing it. Boaz didn't leave to go to Moab. If he had not been there when Ruth and Naomi got back. So when you start running from problems and you run to the world away from God, you make excuses like everybody else is doing it. It just seems right. It just felt right. Don't run away from your problems, or don't run away from God from your problems by not living by sight, by faith, but by living by sight, and spiritual instead of physical, and Lord instead of world. And number four, by living like there is an inside problem instead of an outside problem. And here's where the key was. Everybody gets it. Got to live by faith, not by sight. Live for the spiritual, not physical. Don't live for the world. Live for the Lord. But here's what happened. When the problem arose, it wasn't her choice. It wasn't her design. It wasn't her doings. But it was a problem. But then, once she was faced with it, how she reacted was up to her. Okay? She didn't bring the famine. She didn't bring the deaths. She didn't bring the sins, things like that. But what she did, she reacted. So she was living like there was a problem on the outside, not a problem on the inside. But what happened is, don't come, doubt comes from the inside. And not having faith in God comes from the inside. Don't ignore the real source of the problem. And the real problem was her heart. Her heart. Okay, she reacted and he reacted, and they all did. So we may not come or not choose a problem, but we do get to choose how we react. And so therefore it became a heart problem. We've got to go. God's failed us. God has turned His back on us. We're going to starve. And so their problem was a heart problem. And the problem was when they ran or when they left, guess what went with them? The heart. The problem went with them. And that's what's happened to a lot of people out there that's running from God. They're trying to run away from God, but their problem is right there with them. It's a heart problem. Everywhere they go, there it is. Every time they try to think, there it is. We have to live like there's a by living like there's an inside problem, not an outside problem. I'm going to do the right thing. So spiritual deterioration is from the heart. That's the real problem. So when the famine came up, that wasn't the real problem. The real problem was their reaction to it. They didn't trust. They turned their back on God and ran. It was a heart problem. Spiritual deterioration is a heart problem. That's the real problem. They believed that they could manipulate, manage, figure it out in their own life better than God could. The source of everybody's problem is an inside problem, not an outside problem. What we want to do is point, famine, famine, famine. That wasn't the problem. How they responded to that famine was the problem. Famine, God's still God. We're going to starve. Nope, God's not going to let us starve. The Bible says the righteous people is not going to be begging bread. We might not be eating T-bones every night, but we're not going to starve. God's going to take care of us. That's how you live from the inside, not from the outside. And so their problem was, so the source of their problem was their heart problem. How you handle it is the problem. The heart is every problem. I'm sorry, let me read this to you. The heart of every problem is the problem of the heart. I'll read that again. The heart of every problem, the reason, the heart of every problem is the problem with the heart. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things. God said that, not me. All right, our heart. Well, I just know in my heart. Moab's the right answer. I just know in my heart. This is how I handle the situation. No. Let's don't know in our hearts. Why? Because the heart's deceitful above all things, the Bible says. And desperately wicked, who can know it? So they decided to go and take their family to Moab based on their heart. This was their mistake. Not trusting in God. We need to live by the Word of God and by principles based on the Word of God, not by trusting our heart. What we need to say is, like the song says, it's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I need it. What we do, we blame the circumstances. We blame God. We get a root. We don't get to the root of the problem. We find how to blame and handle it wrong. We doubt God by disobeying His Word. We put our flesh and the world ahead of God's will. We think we can run away, but we run away and we take our sinful heart with us. Running away, playing the blame game, ignoring it, or trying to figure it out on our own is just increasing the problem. So it says that you may have a new location and a new situation, but you will still have the same heart that is not trusting God. That's what they did. They found a new location. They found a better situation, seemed like. But they took their heart that wasn't trusting God with them. Ralph Waldo Emerson said this, a change of geography will not overcome a flaw of character. So again, they left Bethlehem, the house of God, ran to the world. But they took their sinful heart with them. Naomi and her family only planned to sojourn. Oh, just one month, 1 week. They stayed 10 years. And everything fell apart. That first meal that they thought they found the right answer had turned on them. She thought she had figured it out on her own. She ran from God's presence. She tried to cover it up. She tried to play the blame game and got bitter. The truth was that she just didn't trust God. And God punished her by taking her husbands and her sons. Hebrews 12:11. Now, no chastising for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, there's always going to be an afterwards. They left and they thought that was the right answer. But afterwards, they figured it out that it wasn't. Afterwards, it yieldeth peaceable fruit, righteousness unto which are exercised thereby. Hebrews 12:11. So she left, tried to cover it up, got bitter, but came back and got right. and all those things that was chastising her in her present. Didn't seem joyous, but now she had a joyful life. Naomi had learned to surrender to God and trust Him in any situation, and she stopped running from Him and started running to Him. So any problem that you might have, don't try to figure it out on your own. Run to God. Run to the Word of God. Run to the prayer closet. Run to your church family. Run to your godly friends. Don't run to the world. Lord Jesus, thank You for this day. Thank You for the opportunity we have to serve You. Thank You for this principle in the Word of God that doesn't say we're not going to have trouble and we're not going to have situations that we don't know how to deal with. But it does say and give examples of how not to handle them and how to handle them. And don't let it become a heart problem. Lord, help us to trust in You and live by faith, not by sight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you are dismissed.